Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey guys, welcome back for the premiere of season 3 of Lather Talk. I'm your host, John, and with me is my co-host, Gerard. What's up, Gerard?
Hey, what's going on, John?
All right, so we're going to shake off some rust here. We haven't recorded in the last few months. We had a really nice break. Basically took the summer off kind of on that academic schedule, as it is anyway. But Gerard, how are you doing this evening?
Doing great. Can't complain. It's good to be back.
It is good to be back. I did want to kick off with your recent trip. Actually, I got to meet Gerard because he and his wife came out to the Boston area to basically see the sights, hang out, eat some food together. So I thought that'd be a great way. We did originally want to record together in person, but you know, I kind of realized late in the game that my setup here, as far as like hardware and whatnot, didn't really allow for that. So here we are, not in the same room, but happy to be recording again. Gerard, I would love to hear some highlights from your recent trip.
Yeah, so first time in the Boston area. I've been to the, you know, some of the East Coast. I'd been to New York, Rhode Island, D.C., but first time, up there in Boston. So it was really, really nice. Great weather, which I understand, I was kind of fortunate about mm-hmm. it. Because, yep. You know, your summers could be pretty humid, and winters are obviously pretty brutal out there. But it was really nice. I think the thing that probably just struck me the most is that you guys, it's very clear the transition into your seasons. Being in yeah. California, 350 days of sunshine is nice, but, you know, palm trees don't discolor. They just die and that's it. Otherwise, they're pretty much green all the time. So...
Well, one thing, we hosted Gerard and his wife, but they treated us on Sunday night to a really, really nice home-cooked meal of various Filipino foods, which I myself am pretty unfamiliar with. It's kind of hard to come by. There's not really ample Filipino restaurants here in the Boston area, but Gerard, because I'm going to butcher the names, do you want to share a few of the dishes that kind of appeared at that glorious dinner?
Yeah, for sure. So, a lot of the food is somewhat regional and whatnot, and it's mm-hmm. kind of like given our takes of it. We did have a Filipino adobo, which was a little bit different than the usual. Typically, it's just a soy, vinegar, garlic, and pepper base. We did add some coconut milk as well. We had some homemade pandesal from our friend Christina, who actually lives in your area. So shout out to Christina being over there. She same also town. Right, same town. Joined us.
Yeah, same town.
Other.
Yeah.
That's another thing. We have to talk about, like, you know, what really distance is and the concept of towns, because that's a great point.
So yeah, why don't you outline the differences between, like, you know, your frame of, like, how far it is from one place to the other, and then coming here.
So, or let me finish the thing and I'll jump right into
it. Oh, sorry, yes.
Because I'll lose my train on the menu. We had a seafood kare kare, which is basically some vegetables, and it's typically a meat such as pork. You could even put some, like, you know, other cuts like tripe in there. But it's typically a soup with a peanut sauce. We kind of deconstructed it and had it almost like a la carte, so you could pick and choose what you wanted. I basically made a Filipino paella, which is kind of a... it's more of a regional thing from where my parents are from, as well as a Filipino sour soup, which is sinigang. If there are any Filipinos watching this, they'll be very happy with... hearing what the menu was. And did I make anything else? I don't know. I think that was it.
It was a lot of food.
Yeah, it was.
You guys couldn't tell listening at home, it was a lot of food.
Like, Filipinos, like, I cannot cook. It's only myself and my wife and our 18-month-old son. Yeah, I cannot cook for anything less than, like, 8 people. It's just not happening. And so making multiple dishes... it still was just an overwhelming amount of food, but yeah. It was really nice, to cook that, you know, and, kind of like doing my research. It's not that I'm, you know, like, really huge on Filipino food. I do like to, like, kind of see, like, what's in town and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But like you said, I was kind of just surprised that there is literally nothing in the greater Boston area. There's, like, one little market that maybe has, like, some Filipino potato chips and snacks, but there is no restaurant, which is crazy because I'm basically 60 miles east of Los Angeles, and I can name stuff. There's, like, a place like 5 miles, even if it's like a little, like, cafeteria diner style setup, you know, like, there's a place five minutes away from where I live. And it's just hilarious that a major city like Boston doesn't have anything. So Boston, you got to represent. But yeah, talking about, you know, distance and everything, like, here in California, the joke is that we measure distance in time. You know, I do say that LA is, 60 miles away, but that could be, you know, a little over an hour, or it could be 3 hours, depending on the time of day and what day of the week that, you know, you're headed over there. And so... just realizing a place, you know, just a city like Boston and the surrounding cities around it, that it's so old that really, you know, one place on one side of town can only be like 2 miles. And, you know, for some people that would be considered the other side of town. So, I don't know, there's a highway entrance or a freeway entrance, like, every mile here in California in some way, you know, shape or fashion. It was very noticeable, you know, as I was over there. No, but it was really nice. I would definitely, if there's any West Coasters looking on visiting, not necessarily, you know, hitting you up or anything, but, you know, definitely look at the Boston area. September's a great month. And everything, you know, that's one of the other things that I still kind of think about, that we ended up doing was going apple picking.
Yes. That is, yes.
And that is something you that did. Does not happen in California. I was kind of shocked to just look up, like, apple orchards or, you know, anything like that. And then you just see, like, hundreds of, like, little things just pop up, you know, California is a great agricultural state, but Southern California does not have very many apple orchards, if any. And the ones that we do have, we don't have people, you know, making it a tradition to go out there. Not at all.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's definitely apple picking season. It's firmly ingrained. It's like, it's one of the signals that like fall is here. I think that's why I get attracted to like apple forward scents during this time of year for like shaving and fragrance stuff, because it's just, you know, it's very like, you saw it, like it's a institution as it were.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to listen to this, but you know, Will from Barrister and Man, mm-hmm. Nocturne makes a lot of sense now.
Yes, one of my favorites for the season. Yep, no doubt.
It makes a lot of sense.
Well, yeah, definitely, it is great. I think you did a lot in you made the most of your time while you're out here. So it's kind of cool to see.
You have to, you know.
Yeah,
and sleep is for the weak.
Well, yeah, given it's like the beginning of the school season and everything, you know, me and my kids are up anyway to get out, so kind of they're loud and getting ready, so I guess it gets you up in the morning and ready to tackle the day fairly early.
Definitely. No, but it was still good. I think hopefully, I don't think we really gotten much in the way of your daily routine or your weekend routine either.
And, oh no!
And it was still nice to it actually worked out really well.
No, you guys were excellent guests, and you were very self sufficient. I mean, honestly, very self sufficient. So yeah, definitely no inconvenience or anything like that. I think we're kind of like underselling. It's like, even though we've done the podcast again, we're kicking off the third season, but that's the first time we ever met each other in person. And we did try to also do like an Instagram live, but man, like that was it my fault in that I like rescheduled it.
Okay. So if that ever happens again, and I don't know if we'll talk about it, it may potentially happen again, you know, sooner than later.
Yep.
It just means we have to literally just put the camera, either get maybe one of further. Those clip-on wide-angle lenses, or literally put the camera on the phone on the other side of the room.
Yeah, it's
and what we did was good, because one of us went into the chat so that if we couldn't read it, we could both look down at it. So,
but also giving people more, you know, more notice also, because it was gonna in general, my Instagram lives, which I go on fairly often, but I am kind of late in announcing those things, so we'll try it again for sure. And we learned a few things, but it was just good. I think we were only on for like 15-20 minutes at most, but
yeah, it wasn't too long.
No, and again, like our families and friends were still all around, so it's like, all right, everyone's got to stop what they're doing, because these two jokers got to go.
Stop staring at us.
Yeah, yes, we're, you know, very, very popular influencers, and we got to do our thing.
Oh, God.
I'm using that term. If you can tell by the way I deliver that, I'm totally being sarcastic and. Just so there's no misreading of that. I do not consider myself
I don't think it's a matter of what you consider yourself. I think it's kind of just what is. And so, to say that we're not, even if one person has ever made a purchase, you know, based upon what either one of us have had to say, then, you know, by definition, we've influenced them. So
that's true. Well, yeah, we had a good time. It was great to actually meet you in person. And I think it's kind of funny that there's obviously all this interaction already. So I guess it's kind of one of those things where it's like internet friends or you know, how digital friends. And then you meet in real life. There's always that first, like, oh, you're either like you're taller in person, or like weird, you know, like weird stuff.
Yeah, I'll
like
say
that.
This. I'll say this. You were definitely taller than I thought you would be.
There you go.
Yeah.
I had no, I don't know. Amongst like Asian American guys, I think it could span anywhere from like what, like 5'6" up to like 6'2". maybe in that like average. That's being generous on the taller side of, you know.
There, yeah, you know, who knows what, you know, what GMO foods that we had when we were kids and stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, I know for a fact I am just a giant compared to all of my cousins in the Philippines. It's not even. It's just very clear, you know, that I'm an American.
It's those so. American grains, corn fed. I don't know.
No, it's definitely GMO, just injected. Yeah. You know, like our chicken is like different than what you get over there. Our chicken is just like inflated and stuff like that. There's looks like, you know, they've been fighting, you know, to get a meal. So it is what it is.
Well, yeah, we're definitely, as we mentioned with Instagram Live, I think we definitely do want to be experimenting. You know, keep your eyes peeled. I know I've spoken to Gerard before about wanting to play with YouTube Live and being able to do a live broadcast or like, you know, like a special episode or something. But I think that kind of allows me to segue to our next talking point, which is the launch of our new Patreon page. And if you guys, you know, are into the medium of podcasts, this is probably, you've heard this before. So, you know, bear with me as I give you the spiel of why we're doing a Patreon, why now, and what you can get out of it. And I'll promise to keep this as brief as possible. And if not, I'll edit myself down. But the Patreon, as we want to do more things, streaming live and just offer more things as we've, you know, there's built up a community and a listener base. We want to improve, you know, I mean, honestly, thanks to donations to like one listener, this microphone, I'm using it right now, professional grade microphone, was possible thanks to a donation of a very generous, you know, listener. And from there, you know, upping the quality in that way, I was able to give my previous, my microphone over to Gerard, which you can see if you're watching the video version. And, you know, so that kind of overall elevated up. And, you know, I am not one who easily asks for help, but people want to, and people have reached out before to say, how can we help the show? We want to help support you guys. So in one way, the Patreon's created to do that, to offer that. And hopefully, you know, we've created a few different tiers to pledge. That being said, how it is right now at the point of this recording, I think the tiers are $3, $5, and $10 or $10 a month. And Patreon is a monthly donation. The good news is at any level, you'll have access to our bonus footage. And what's that bonus footage? We're figuring that out right now. But at the very least, it's like behind the scenes, maybe, and I think kind of exclusive, you know, messages to our patrons. And again, that's, you know, that opens up to you at any level. And we are totally
shower open. Shaving.
That's right. We could be your shaving coaches. I don't know. You know, like, it's definitely something that Gerard and I will be thinking about. And obviously, our ears are open to what the community wants. But yeah, so, you know, those might change. But as of right now, we just want at any level, any of our supporters to get access to that background footage. And I'll definitely, you know, I'll update you guys as it goes along, like what some of that bonus footage looks like, just so you know what you're getting yourself into. So to get more information on the Patreon, you can go over to www.patreon.com/lathertalk. And also you can check in the show notes or the video description for that link as well. We're just really thankful for all our listeners. And this is just another way to engage with the show. So thank you guys so much. All right, so the next thing I want to get to for today's episode is I put a question out to our Discord. And for those who don't know, there's a Lather Talk Discord server. While I could read you off a really complicated URL, the easiest way to get there is to go to lathertalk.com. This is a free thing. It's a fun little community that we've established, I think, was it within this year?
Within this year. Probably like
a couple months ago.
February, March-ish. No, yeah. Maybe March, April-ish, something like that.
yeah, it's like a blur, but that's been tons of fun, lots of great conversations. And so I put out a question to the Discord. We've entered the fall autumn season, so I want to ask the regulars, what scent are you looking forward to using this season? And got some fun answers here, so I'm gonna bring up the old page and share with you some of the replies. First off, this is from HD Shaves, who has an excellent YouTube channel. He shared Southern Witchcraft's Samhain, which I remember smelling that one. That's a really nice dark pumpkin boozy kind of. Have you smelled that one, Gerard?
Yeah, I have it. So I think I have most of the stuff that people have either have it or had it at one point in time.
Yeah.
I'll always mess it up because I think it's in you know, it's Gaelic, right? So I think the pronunciation is Samhain.
Oh, even Samhain? Though it,
yeah, I you know what?
Samhain. I know Courtney, it's not Samhain.
If Courtney or Steven are answering, you know, like you can, can check me on it. But I want to say it was Samhain. It's kind of a earthy, pumpkiny, slightly boozy scent.
Mm-hmm.
To say it's like it's like a earthy pumpkin spice, because I think, you know, obviously because of Starbucks and all that stuff, that's the popular thing right now.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not a sweet scent. It is not a sweet scent, I would say, at all. It's not overly pumpkiny. It's like just really nice notes of all that stuff, and kind of elicits that Halloween or Samhain season and holiday.
For sure.
Really, really nice for definitely the fall season.
I think it's a really great offering from Southern Witchcrafts. I think the fall season in particular, and you know, both at its Halloween and also in general, their scents tend to lean a little darker, sometimes a little more dank.
This is their
time to shine. Yeah,
this is their Chinese New Year. This is their this is their Mardi Gras. This is
whatever.
Know, this is,
yeah,
this is their time to. This is it.
This is their bring their A game. Moving on, Fro Paris shared Darkfall, a scent from Declaration Grooming. I smelled that a few years ago. I remember the smoky note being the most prominent thing to my nose.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, smoky, almost like just autumn leaves. Again, very
yes.
earthy.
Yes.
I don't think it's... I really like it, and so I didn't think I would. I think initially, and I mean, it's been one of Scott's mainstays, you know, for so long. I'm pulling up the notes that we got some agar wood, amber, and benzoin, which is kind of a very warm. There is some cinnamon and clove in there, as well as birch tar.
Dark scent.
That dark. Smell of kind of burning leaves, things like that. The birch tar is definitely the smoky note in there, but I don't think, at least the soap, it's not overpowering at all. It shaves really nice, obviously, and it's a dark fall scent, to say the least.
Yeah, I think it has quite a following too, whenever it comes out this time of year. Evan, who's a regular on the Discord, but I'm going to butcher his username. We'll just say Evan. Or do you want to take a stab at it?
Nope. Okay. Not going to do it.
Evan, who I'm sorry because I've met him in person. He is he's another Massachusetts local. Groucho League Square from Achatillon Luke Scent, but often collaborating with Declaration Grooming. That one, I've smelled it, I know, but I don't remember it. Do you have?
I'm bringing it up also. You know, I also have GLS as
thank you
as it is GLS, said.
Yeah.
I mean, like lots of Sean's scents. I mean, it is definitely a very complex scent.
Yes.
But if I'm going to mention the notes right now, it has, I think, in it doesn't properly like indicate the scent accord of the fragrance, you know, when it's put together, right? So when I say tobacco, leather, rose, clove, nutmeg, sandalwood, vetiver, vanilla, musk, bergamot, and amber, sometimes people just hear that, you know, hear all of those things, but it's a really, you know, gorgeous scent. It's a beautiful scent, you know, in wet shaving. And it's also been like one of Scott and Sean's, like, I think, you know, one of their oldest collabs together.
Yeah, know, I was going to say, far as, it's been around for a while.
It's definitely been around for a while. And so, it's definitely a... It kind of falls in line with that kind of, like, dark, but I feel it almost has, like, a... I don't want to say vintage smell, you know? Or, you know...
You mean like a throwback?
It doesn't... I feel like with Sean's scents, he, you know, it's not that he wants you to smell something as in he wants to take you to a place, or he wants to take you to a different time, you know, in a lot of what Châtillon Luxe, you know, offers. So much of it is based around the history of St. Louis, you know, where he, you know, works out of and is from. And so, you know, it even, I'm literally like looking at the synopsis here of GLS, and you know, it's he said, this is a smell of a busy day in the Carondelet markets. And does that mean that there's, you have, you know, you have like grass and tobacco and leather? I would say if anything, leather is that kind of prominent note, you know, in GLS,
right?
Very, you know, very, but it's a very, you know, like I mentioned rose, I can't really smell, you know, I can't identify rose by itself in it, but it just, again, it lends to that, you know, accord of everything put together.
That sounds like a fall scent too. Yeah, now that you're reading off the like you said, the scent description, I do remember it's like fur traders, right? And then tanneries and stuff like that were very prominent in the marketplace. So yeah. Or this one's from Shaving in CT. He mentioned Embrace from House of Mammoth. And that's one that we mentioned, I think, in the season 2 finale as possibly one of our favorites for 2021.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it is a musk bomb, if you will.
It is.
I do, you know, I, not to say, like, I, you know, I feel a, even though I've, you know, been doing or been in this hobby, you know, for a few years now, I'm just always kind of like discovering, you know, new things in scents.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think musk always came off as that kind of animalic, you know, kind of dirty note, you know, and whatnot, but Embrace is none of that. Embrace is a really, it is what it is, right? It's a very, it's like a, it's supposed to feel like a warm hug, and you kind of get almost like a, you know, I know that there are multiple different musk notes in there. And so it just, yeah, you know, I think for the fall season, it's a very cozy, you know, scent to use, and it's really nice.
Yeah, for sure. It layers it. That's one where, I forgot if I shared this last time, like I love the scent in the soap and the aftershave balm, but I had picked up the Eau de Parfum and it was too strong. So it's like, especially in that opening, it was too strong, where I think really the shaving software will do the trick, because that scent really sticks. And it's wonderfully complex, but it's all playing around that theme of musk. So it's still in the running for 2021 favorite for me. Just scrolling further down, DF and DC mentioned Ascent that we were just talking about, Barrister and Man, and then later on Zangari Man Nocturne. Absolutely great, great fall scent.
Smoky, apple.
Woody.
Leaves. You know, really nice.
One of our moderators, Rocketvin, Arvin, voted for Bay Rum. Spices.
Yeah, I mean, it's appropriate. Yeah, you know, in stuff like that, I don't have any, like, exclusively Bay Rum scents.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at also, I see our friend John Shaves, who has a YouTube channel as well. He mentioned a bunch. He mentioned Earth of Mankind from Oaken Lab, which is mm-hmm. fantastic. Amore, Amore from Grooming Department. Barrel Proof, which is a collab with Zangari Man and our friends over at BBS Live.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned wonderful. Also Gracial League Square. Rebel from Holy Cow.
Mm-hmm. Tobacco forward, kind of cologne type scent.
Definitely. And then Dark 2 from Tallow and Steel.
So yeah, those are some of the user submissions from our Discord, and we'll be doing more of that. Maybe that's a little incentive for you guys to to come check it out, get in on the conversation. But thank you everyone who submitted, you know, some of their favorites or things they're really looking forward to checking out this fall/autumn season.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Gerard. So let's transition to kind of our big topic for this episode. It's been at the forefront of, I know for some people that I've interacted with, and the topic is auctions. And we're not talking about like eBay auctions, which that's all fine and dandy, but there's been a rise of vendor-held auctions. Kind of a quick background here, and these are kind of based on my observations. Feel free to add in to Gerard, but I would say earlier this year, maybe at the start of 2021, possibly even a little bit before then, but Paladin Shaving had auctioned some I think there were seconds of brushes, or they might have had some very basic blemishes, nothing that affected the actual use of said brushes, and put them on auction. I think those often finished up at above the regular retail price, so that was
beyond retail price.
But there were a number of brushes, right? And obviously, some were highly desirable, so those went for hundreds of dollars. I think their average brush cost would be $150-$200 range. Again, it depends size of the knot. And type of brush. But following that, Declaration Grooming, friend of the show, was also auctioning some unearthed older batches of badger hair. So the naming convention, the very simple B1, B2, B3, basically, batches of those hairs were found and put into brushes, and those were auctioned off as well. Also, and Gerard will attest to this, going for way above Do you remember how high some of those auctions ended up?
Yep. I remember exactly how much that ended up. Right, I think B5.
Yeah.
Almost everything was either close to or above $1,000, and I think B5 hit $2,000.
Wow. Wow, I knew it hit $1,000. I didn't know that there was a $2,000.
Yikes. Or maybe no, maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe
was
I'm
that
2K
the wolf? Yeah. Okay.
It might have been. It might have been. Sorry.
Like, who's paying 2K for a? Anyway,
you know.
Let's roll.
No, but
back.
For sure above $1,000. Yeah, no, for sure above $1,000 for some of these. But you know what? I think some people will probably some people will correct me. You know for sure because it's just wild. It's crazy.
And just for context, because not everyone's into hand-tied brushes or these custom brushes. Currently, if you were to buy a new brush from Declaration Grooming, it's $405. So just to give you context, it's going, more than double the price, if not more. And then the last example I thought of, and which Gerard kind of alluded to, was Wolfman razors. You know, long been prized for razor enthusiasts, aficionados, one of the I think the best polishing games, best polished razors in the game, easily I would say. But this one I'm less familiar with. Was it also kind of a found product that was auctioned, a WR1? Does that sound right to you, George?
Well, it wasn't. I mean, so from my understanding, James he still makes WR1s to order. He had unearthed some razors in different materials, whether it was aluminum or copper or whatever. And so he decided to just put those up and see what they would go for. It's not something because right now he's just making stainless steel.
Okay.
He's not working with other mediums, as far as I know. And so, because of that, it went bonkers. I'm pretty sure, like you said, like I had mistakenly said that it hit, I believe, close to $2,000.
Right. It was for the razor, not the Declaration Grooming brush. Oh, you know, correct. Was it as far as unearthed stuff? Was it a BBS-1 that he found? Was that what it was?
I don't know if he did or like. I mean, I want to say that there was like some stuff, like he had mentioned some stuff, but I don't know. I wasn't following all of the auctions that were going on. I know that he had, I want to say he had put out a couple of them.
Neither was I.
But but we'll talk. I mean, long story short, I mean, I already knew I was priced out. So
even before, right. As soon as you knew. You heard auction.
I think I looked at the page and I just like stared down at that number and I'm like, nope. And then I clicked right out of there.
Well, I think that brings up the perfect point though, where the rise of these auctions really left a sour taste in some people's mouths. For me, just to share my quick personal feelings, it's like, that's fine. You know, you do you kind of thing. But people just feel like it's not best practices or not good practice because you're pricing up people who, are also like supporting you or said artisan. What are your thoughts on this whole thing, Gerard?
So I'm going to kind of like take a line from like one of our earliest episodes when we talked about like flipping products and stuff like that. And so, it's not like you can actually go on eBay and, at least, a couple months ago, I saw people trying to sell a Paradigm Diamondback razor on eBay for $900, right? I've seen like, again, Wolfman, BBS-1s for like $1,200, $1,500, right? And so, I mean, are people actually buying it at that price? I don't know. You know, maybe they are, maybe they aren't.
Yeah.
And I think, even with stuff like either Declaration Grooming brushes or other, other brushes, whether it's Paladin or anyone else doing it. I also know that Just to throw him in there, just because, you know, he was also doing them recently. Steven from Dogwood Handcrafts has also, you know, put out a couple of auctions already as well. But I think, you know, as someone that's active in the hobby, I'm already priced out, you know, of it, you know, when someone puts up like some extravagant number, right? And I get it, you know, that I think even back then I said, you know, if you're going to sell it for something like that, you know, like go make your money, right? Don't leave money on the table. Could they have sold, you know, their products at their current pricing? Sure, absolutely. And someone would have snatched it up right away. How would have it gone? You know, would have it been literally first person to click, right? Like, you know, whoever had the quickest trigger finger, you know, on it, because it would have been snatched up like immediately. So, I mean, do I like it? I mean, I can't say that I do, but, you know, like I said earlier, like an artisan shouldn't leave money on the table for themselves. If they know that they can get something like that, like, why not? You know? Yeah, does it price a lot of people out? Sure. But if someone wants to go spend $1,000 on a brush, you know, I think Scott even said when he had his custom, you know, brushes, he kind of deterred people from trying to, you know, buy a $1,000 brush or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I think that at this point, you know, it doesn't do anything to, you know, really complain about it. You know, does that mean that all of a sudden the prices are going to go up to auction prices? No, because you're literally going to price out almost everyone in the market. So I don't know. You know, for people that, yeah, like, well, even as we record this, Scott from Declaration Dreaming, he had a drop today. Again, you already said it. His retail is $405. You can, you know, ask for an artisan's choice, or you can ask for certain handles, you know, in what he wants. When he, you know, when he drops the, when he makes the announcement, if you want a Wolfman razor, you can get on the list, and James from Wolfman will eventually get to you, and you can pay, I don't know, I think basic polish is what, $300-something. Mirror polish is like close to $500, you know, like, and you're still guaranteed your item, right? You're not going to pay $1,000, $1,500, $2,000. I mean, if you really want to get that specific rare item, if you think it's worth it to you, then, you know, as they say, you do you.
You have to prepare to pay. But you bring up a great point, though, in that I think it's worth, like, kind of categorizing some of these auctions, right? So where if it's like using the Wolfman example of, like, okay, he doesn't usually work in brass, aluminum, whatnot, but he's just having these razors lie around and they're perfectly functional. I think those kind of one-off things, they're perfect for a super fan. And we've had this discussion off, you know, offline before too, which is, I think with some members of the wet-shaving, the great wet-shaving community, don't really view, you know, I use the word hobbyist, I use the word enthusiast, but for a real hobbyist, you know, Jared always brings up the sneaker market. There's collectibles if you're into, like, comic books and geeky stuff.
Yeah.
There are these kind of grail pieces or these limited collabs, limited one-offs. I mean, these are things that people clamor for. Like, I'm so, like, that if it falls into that kind of category, that is growth on one end of the spectrum. It's not what I'm typically interested in, but if there's, like, some, like, crazy, like, you know how sometimes, like, there's that polish where it's, like, rainbow colored, like titanium or stainless steel or something, that's, you know, I have no problem with that. But if this trend continues and it's, like, the regular product just to get, like, let's say a normal brush drop or razor drop and there's no other way to get it, I think that would really sour, you know, continuing business with said artisan if that became the main model, right, to pick up their product.
No, for sure. And so I'm just gonna, I don't even know if this will show properly, right? But
you're gonna you're gonna have to describe stuff anyway. we can't rely on the video. So
this is here some Nike shoes, and that is a comma in there, and I know it's reversed, but that says you can buy right now for $20,000.
And which
$20,000 American, and guess what? These assholes have the nerve to still make you pay for the shipping at $17.50. Okay, so
that's just insulting. Which sneaker, for those who are just listening at home, which sneakers are those that you're showing?
These would be the Nike Dunk Low Pro. They would be the SB Heineken colorway, like Heineken the beer.
Yep.
So, ridiculous, you know, and I'm
the shipping. That really is such a slap in the face.
Yeah, what an asshole move. $17 the shipping.
Don't do that, guys. Don't do that.
But anyway, I put this out there, you know, that someone will, you know, pay if someone has the money, they will pay what they want. Right? You know? These are probably going to stay up here for a while. You know what I mean? No one's buying these shoes at these stupid prices and whatnot. I'm just, looking at about $8,000, whatever, $4,000, etc. Lightly used, $2,000, you know, and stuff like that. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where... Yeah, I don't blame people for being soured at the fact that this is kind of where it's gotten, right? We don't have, you know, Paladin or Declaration or Wolfman or any of the others on here at the moment to talk about it. But yeah, I think in the end it would be dumb of them to leave money on the table. That's it. You know, I think, you know, people accept it when it's, you know, someone else on a BST or on eBay, you know, because it's a third party. But all of a sudden, you know, the person making it themselves, you know, gets a lot of slack for it. I don't know. I think it's, I don't get it, you know, in the end.
All right, guys. So that's going to do it for this episode. Gerard, definitely, you know, always good to kind of, you know, go back and forth on these kind of these topics with the auctions, and by no means controversial, but just, you know, it's a topic that people have strong feelings on. So it was nice to kind of dig in on that. But I think that's going to be a wrap for the first episode of season 3. So just want to thank everyone who has tuned back in. You guys can, again, go to lathertalk.com to catch new episodes of the podcast, to go check out the Discord, to if you want to know more about the Patreon, lathertalk.com is the right place to go. You can find us on our socials. I'm over at Latherhog on all the things, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Gerard can be found on Instagram at Hey Gerard Shaves. And yeah, anything else to add, Gerard, before signing off?
No, that'll be it, I think, for this one. You know, it's good to be back. And I'm looking forward to what season 3 is going to bring.
Me too. Well, it's always a pleasure talking with you, Gerard. Thank you guys so much again for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Peace.
Hey guys, thank you again for joining us for the first episode of season 3. Gerard and I had a blast recording and just getting back into the swing of things. I just want to close out the show with a few shout outs. These are folks that are newly signed up to our just launched Patreon. Thank you guys so much for being, you know, early adopters of this platform, and of course for your support. So we'd like to thank Jared over at the Thirsty Badger Shave Company. We'd like to thank Sloppy Badger, a regular on the Discord. And lastly, want to thank Ben Louie, who is one of the hosts at Instagram's Canadian Mafia Show. That is a Wedgehaven program, especially highlighting, you know, Canadian artisans and things that Canadian shavers might be thinking about, or a boot, as it were. So thank you guys so much for signing on. And listeners at home, we do just want to appreciate your continued support just by listening to this show. And we hope to catch you next episode. Take care.